Hey, podcast listeners, Dean Crisp in the studio this week. Got a great episode. I'm joined with Kelly Corbin. We're going to be talking about what I consider to be one of the greatest, deadliest sins, if you will, of the individual leader is becoming intellectually lazy. And if you're one of those folks, or if you know a folk or know a leader like that, then you know what? This would be a good episode for you to pay attention to and maybe help you get out of some of those habits that's making you intellectually lazy, because it certainly is impacting your effectiveness. So as we always say, set back, turn up the volume, get ready to change your life.
Hi, I'm Dean Crisp. Welcome to Straight Talk on Leadership. This is what we'd like to say is the no BS zone, where we give you leadership tips, ideas, and practical suggestions to help you become a top leadership performer. Our goal is simple: help you become the best version of yourself and reach your highest potential as a leader. So sit back, turn up the volume, be ready to change your life.
Hey, everybody, Dean Crisp back in studio, excited to be with you today. And I always say that because I'm always excited to be back in the studio. I'm joined with Kelly Corbin today, and we're going to be talking about intellectual laziness. But we're also going to be talking about kind of like a little, I don't know, history lesson would be the way it would. But we're going to talk about how leadership was kind of formed in these theories of leadership and how people kind of got themselves into the kind of position they're in now, or how they learned their leadership and the importance of experience and knowledge plays into it. And we're going to define intellectually lazy. So you know what? It's going to be one of those episodes where we think we're going to be passing on a lot of information. And we are so glad that you are joining us. Kelly, hello. Hey, good to have you back on the podcast.
Hey, Dean. It's great to be back on. Hope you had a good holiday weekend and everybody was enjoying their turkey dinner.
Well, everybody was busy as this is the always the holiday season. And we know that we really appreciate you during this particular time of the year to continue to listen to our podcast. You know, learning doesn't stop just because you get stuffed full of turkey and just because, you know, a couple of days off and you have vacation and all those, and you got to buy all those presents and you're thinking about Christmas holidays. And so learning doesn't stop. And so that's why we continue to do our podcast during this busy holiday season for everybody. But you got time to put those earphones in, those earplugs in, that, you know, the AirPods, I guess you could say, and walk around and listen, or go to the mall and walk around and listen, or drive your car, or go to the gym. Any of those things can, you know what, make it very easy for you to listen. So today's podcast is really exciting. I think we're going to have a great conversation about a little bit of the history of leadership, but we're going to talk about what I consider to be one of the deadliest sins of all leaders. And, you know, I say sins with a little tongue in cheek. I'm not really calling people who do bad stuff in leadership sinners, but I'm talking about, if you look historically, we always refer to those things, but it's really bad behaviors and traits. And one of them is the fact that you become intellectually lazy. So more on that in just a moment. But again, I want to thank all of you for listening. Our numbers continue to go up only because of you. I want to thank our entire staff at LHLN for all that you've done. We've got some, we got some really interesting, exciting, what we think can be culturally changing stuff coming up with law enforcement, when we're going to be introducing our servant officer program. And that is coming right around the corner. You want to stay tuned and listen to that, because I believe it will impact how police officers police in the modern era. But I also think that if you've got officers out there that may need to listen to this, they've lost their purpose. They're not really as enthusiastic as they once were with their job. You know, and all of us have had these really tough times dealing with not only the COVID, but the defund of police, the anti-police movements have just caused police officers to reevaluate where they are. And we think we've got a course that can help you recapture that purpose, the why, kind of get to understanding what this is all about in law enforcement, and, you know, get that enthusiasm and that motivation back and create those things. So we're really excited about that. We're going to be introducing a video where I'm going to be talking about that exclusively. So, hey, we're going to be doing that. My first class is actually in Biloxi, Mississippi. It's coming up in 2 weeks. And I want to invite, if anybody's down there in Biloxi area, that's going to be the first time we're going to be really introduced. Although I have taught it in other settings, this is going to be the first class that we're cutting all that information loose. So we hope that you'll be down there. If you can, join us. But we've got them. Just look on our schedule. We've got other classes available. We've already got a number of them registered for next year. So we hope you get in and are going to really enjoy that. So, Kelly, I hope you're ready for this podcast today. I know you are. And you had a good couple of weeks here. We've been busy, busy. You want to tell folks about what's going on?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you're going to finish 2021 with a bang. We've been super busy and we'll be through the second week of December. And then we always kind of take those last 2 weeks to reevaluate and kind of get ready for the next new year. And yes, as you mentioned, the Biloxi class is a great opportunity. If you can get down there the week of December 6th through the 8th, that's a Monday through Wednesday class. They are hosting it at the Mississippi State. I think it's the Coastal Research Center is the actual place, but that would be a great way for you to kind of get some ideas of what's going to be in the new class when we launch it here in a few weeks. So,
yeah. And you know, those folks in Mississippi, we just love them. Oh my goodness. They're just wonderful people down there. They've been so good to us. And the Chiefs down there at Gulfport and also Biloxi. I just can't say enough about those folks.
Diverville and Flowood.
Diverville, all great. Consider them friends. They're just great people. And I love the way they're pushing leadership, not only with
progressive in their attitudes. Yeah, I agree. They've really got a game plan going and they want to make that happen. And everybody that I work with to get these classes, advertised and known about have just been great. Lieutenant Everett in Biloxi and the assistant chief over in Gulfport, Craig Peterson, Diverville, Flowood, the chief up there and Chief Neil and Ridgeland have all been awesome.
Oh, yeah. So tremendous, folks. We really appreciate it. Then we're heading to I'm heading to Boston this week.
Yeah, you're heading to Boston this week. Yep. Mm-hmm.
And then I'm heading to Oklahoma City to do a master leadership course. Well, let's kick right into the podcast here. And the podcast this week is coming courtesy of a 3 a.m. wake-up call for me. I'm not really sure why I woke up at 3 a.m., but I woke up in from the middle of a sleep, and I was just thinking about leadership. I often do that, and some of y'all might think, well, you know, that's crazy. But, you know, I do teach a lot on the road, and I keep leadership right on the tip of my tongue, because if I see something out there that I can pass on to you, a lesson that I learn or something that I might be thinking about that might help you, man, I am all about pushing that information as fast-paced as I can to you. And this idea for this podcast came at 3 a.m. in the morning. And I was thinking about historically, I was thinking about leadership in general and why some folks or even me and some of us have problems with leadership. And it dawned on me that we're all products of our past when it comes to our leadership. So think about that for a second. We're products of our past when it comes to our future. And when you're a product of your past, when it comes to your future, especially in leadership, you can have a tendency to be behind the times because leadership is absolutely changing. And the way we deal with folks and the complexities of the problems we're dealing with, man, they are changing like almost every single day. I do know this, that a lot of my police chief friends that, things they used to be able to do, they can't do anymore. Things they used to be able to say, they can't say anymore. Even in a press conference, you might be able to say something today and tomorrow it's out of vogue. It's not something you would say again. So we're constantly learning, and the learning curve with leadership is sometimes really steep because we don't really pay attention to how the impact it has and how it, you know, just demotivates people and that kind of stuff. And so I want you to think about leadership. And I thought about how leadership, my past has impacted me. And I thought about it. Well, let's go back to leadership. Let's talk about some of the leadership traits, where leadership kind of came from. And then I'm going to talk about how that kind of coincides with how our current day mindset for a lot of leaders. Now, if you look in our organizations right now, they're generally made up of a few baby boomers, which were born prior to 1960, They're made up of a lot of the Generation Xers who were born between 60 and 80, roughly between those years. That's a lot of our leaders, especially our chiefs, especially the top leadership organization. And then you have few millennials that are in there that are just kind of, you know, getting their feet wet and those things. But if you take a baby boomer, for example, they were all influenced by these theories of the past where parental leadership was kind of the key. In other words, it wasn't maternalistic. It was all paternalistic, meaning that the boss knew what was what needed to be done, when it needed to be done, how it needed to be done. And you never questioned the boss telling you that. In other words, you said, yes, sir. Can I have another? Once they told you something, you absolutely went into this paternalistic mode and you kind of got in that mindset. And that's your baby boomers for sure. Now, Xers have adopted a little more of a maternalistic mindset, but they're really, really heavy still on that paternalistic mindset because that's the way their formative years were designed or they were developed for them. In other words, when they grew up, mom and dad knew better. And although we all had these, rebellious years where we don't think our parents know that much. And then we have this kind of enlightening age where these millennials come in and then these Gen Zers are coming in and they think they know more than the dang bosses do. And so now we've got these leaders who are doing it. So let's talk about leadership traits for just a second in terms of just theory so people can kind of understand. The first theory that was ever developed was what they call the great man theory. And that was just a theory where people thought only great men could be leaders. And that came about around the 1840s to around 1930. And out of that came a thing called the trait leadership, meaning that they took the traits of great leaders and said, if you've got these traits, you can be a leader. And then they went around the 1940s and 50s, this thing called behavioral theory, which just simply meant that the behaviors of the leader started impacting how people were performing. And then you get around the 60s and you get the situational leadership that develops where if it's this situation, you do this. If it's that situation, you do this. You change how you lead according to the situation, if you will. And then James McGregor Burns comes up with this enlightening theory of transformational leadership in the late 70s. And that has taken us into currently where we are now, which means that people don't want to be told what to do. They want to transform themselves into becoming the best version themselves and be able to do it themselves. Well, if you look at that in the 80s and 90s, well, that comes out to be the number one theory. Most of us grew up before that theory even became vogue. So you had those parental kind of mindset where the leader or the boss knew all and they knew everything. And when that happens, when a boss has the mindset that they know more, they base it on two things. One, their knowledge of the job. And that's why a lot of people micromanage because they think they know more than you do. And the second thing is experience. They think they're more experienced. So they based their how they do their job or how we do our jobs based on the fact that we watched our parents, we watched our leaders, and they were somewhat affected. But what we've all missed is that this new enlightened group that's coming in, they don't really care about those parental strict mindsets. Matter of fact, I guarantee you, let me give you a little exercise that you can kind of use it on your millennials, okay? Use it on your millennials, but use it on your Gen Zers for sure. I guarantee you, every one of you boomers out there and every one of you Xers, if I were to ask you, who's the top general that was serving in the Army or the military when you were growing up, who were they? You would know them. You would know their name. Mm-hmm. Ask them now, who's the top general in the military? They won't know anybody. Why? Because they don't see leadership the same way we did in terms of we had these great leaders we thought were these wonderful, magnificent leaders who had all these did all these great things. Nowadays, they can't name them. Why? Because they think they're as equal or as smart as those leaders today. And so when you think about that, that's pretty crazy to think about it, but it is so true. So I'll pause right there and let Kelly throw 2 cents into there, see what she's got to say about some of this.
No, well, I mean, I'm an Xer, as you know, an older Xer, but I was listening to you talk about the differences in what they experienced growing up. And I think about the influence of pop culture on all of this and how that is also kind of woven itself into the psyche. You think about boomers probably grew up in the 1950s, 60s with father knows best, right? So that's a little bit different dynamic than the 70s kids that grew up with happy days and one day at a time with the divorced mother and her two daughters living with her and everything. So the maternal instinct. And then you move into other pop culture that is now influenced. It's no longer just television. It's social media. It's YouTubers, everything like that. So consequently, because they have so much information at their hands, these younger generations automatically assume that they know as much or more than you do as a leader. So it really does change the dynamic of leadership.
You know, Stanley McChrystal, who was a general in the Obama administration, he was in charge of the Afghanistan forces. He talks about a theory of his, and I thought it was so good. So imagine a chain of command being a pyramid, right? That's where all the mm-hmm. chain of commands are. And if you look at that, all the power's at the top, and then all the information's at the bottom. And if you look at that, in the normal chain of command, the people at the top hold all the power. They got all the knowledge, all experience, and everything has to go through them, right?
Right.
And Stanley McChrystal came up with this thing after most of his soldiers were millennials or even some Gen Zers coming in there, where the individual soldier believed they were smart as the generals were. Like you've got a private, they know the discipline, but in terms of their knowledge. And so he called it a thing called the inversion expertise, which what that meant was, is that people at the bottom think they're as smart as people are at the top. And so you think about that around the year 2000, actually what changed the world forever and ever and ever was around the year 2007 when the iPhone came in. Yes. Because now what happened was, is we put a knowledge instrument into the hands of our kids to where all they have to do is Google something. All they have to do is have an instant of doubt. All they have to do is have a question and they can get an answer immediately. Well, what happened was Google started taking the place of the expertise of the leader. And Google started taking the place of us having to go to our leaders to get answers. We would just find it somewhere else. So what happened was you had this knowledge kind of lack of, or this gap in knowledge now, where the kids are the ones that are younger generation, they have so much knowledge at their fingertips that the older generation sometimes get what I call intellectually lazy. And so when I talk about one of these deadly sins or those is the fact that as a leader, you cannot depend on the knowledge you gained learning your job or the knowledge that you gained in your initial training or the knowledge that you gained on your promotional examination, plus the experience that you gained in all those years to now really matter to the next generation. What really matters to the next generation is the fact that you keep pushing your knowledge. And one of the things that I see leaders a lot of times, they'll make mistakes. And there's three reasons people make mistakes or make bad decisions. The first one is lack of information, i.e. knowledge. The second one is lack of time. They don't have enough time. Or the third one, lack of experience. And the only one you can make up is knowledge. And you think about it for a second. There is a major gap in knowledge in the current day generations. The new generation are pushed. Now, I'm not telling you that all the knowledge they're learning is great. I'm not telling you that all the knowledge and the TikToks and the Instagrams, all that stuff is wonderful. I'm not telling you that at all. But it is changing the people that are working for you because it's creating this emotional connectivity to every single thing that they do and every single thing that happens, which in turn, we don't have that. Because we're not using that part of our brain, if you will, on those viewing those videos and interacting with our people. They're wanting to be emotionally connected every day. And so they're leading with or they're wanting to be led by feelings and you're wanting to be led by facts. And it's just changing them.
Let's take a short break from the show and we'll be right back.
Hey, Straight Talk on Leadership listeners. I just wanted to take a quick break and thank each and every one of you for listening to our podcast. With your support, Dean Klein to Amazon's bestseller list for his new book, Essential Leadership Lessons from the Thin Blue Line. You can purchase Dean's book at any of your favorite retail locations, as well as our home website. We would love to see you in one of Dean's upcoming live classes. You can find where Dean will be teaching next, as well as buy his new book at www.lhln.org. Thanks again. Now, back to the episode.
And when a person puts feelings first, they are difficult to lead because everything you say to them makes them upset, and you have to watch every word you say. I guarantee you right now, your people, if you don't talk to them for, let's say, a couple of hours, or you don't see them for a couple of half a day or whatever, they're going to text you. They're going to ask you, you okay? You good? And whereas when I was growing up, when I was working, we didn't want to see our boss. If we didn't see him for days, we didn't care. But this new generation, because they want to be so emotionally attached, because they're not, and it's not because they're smarter than us, it's just they're leading by feelings. Because when you increase knowledge, you increase emotional connectivity to what you are looking at. It is a fact. I'm not making that up. It's just a fact. So what's happening is, a lot of our bosses are becoming what I call intellectually lazy. They're not keeping up with the pace. Now, I can tell you, remember I said the first thing about when people make mistakes, it's the intellectual, or they don't have the knowledge. Well, guess what that is? That's the thing I call intellectual capital. That means intellect that you build. Honest to gosh, if all you have to do is read one article or one snippet of an article a day, and if you do that 365 days, or if you don't, let's just do it during the work days. If you do it 200 days out of the year, your ability to connect and have the intellectual capital is going to far surpass most people that you're working with. And that's what this new generation expects of their bosses. Right. They expect them to be very smart. They expect them to challenge them. They do not expect you to just walk around, do your job, and leave them alone. They want to interact with you, and it's crazy, but lack of intellectual capital can really harm you as a leader. And so you've got to build that up. And so when I started talking about this intellectual lazy, it is really a major problem for leaders, is because they think that all they got to do is use their power or from the position, and they just give them the dictates of the memos and the actions of the day, and they react to what's going on, and they're going to be ahead of the curve. They are not. They're going to be behind. They've got to continually push, push, push. And one way to do it is you got to be intellectually savvy and not be intellectually lazy. And so I've got some tips on how to stop being intellectually lazy, if you will, and how to push things forward. And so I'll pause right there and see if you got any questions or any comments you want to bring up, Kelly.
No, I think you make a really valid point. I'm excited to hear what you're going to say. You know, you and I think I had actually texted you earlier about the Simon Sinek thing where he was talking about ghosting, you know, because that's a big, you know, most of these kids, most of the Gen Zers, especially, and millennials, and heck, even we've become, you know, prone to it, is we communicate through text messaging. We communicate through non-face-to-face interactions a lot more now. And so the ability to effectively communicate your ideas and have information that's going to be able to connect with those people in those formats is really important. So I'm excited to hear what you're going to say or the tips.
Well, I'm going to tell you something right now. When a single emoji can take the place of a conversation, the world has changed. That's all I can tell you.
No doubt.
You can send somebody a single emoji.
Thumbs up.
And it absolutely, there's no more conversation. There's no more interaction. It's all been said with a single emoji. And if you look at the simplicity of that, it tells you that the world has moved really, really fast. Now, I didn't say that I liked it. And I'm not saying that I'm, you know, in love with this new way that we do things, but I am telling you as a leader that if you don't catch up and you don't start communicating, I'm not talking about three emojis, but I'm talking about pushing your intellectual capital with your folks. You're never going to lead them as effectively as you can. I've said this for a long time. You don't have to just be right. You have to be able to effectively communicate the right. Mm-hmm. Does that make any sense?
Yeah, and so, absolutely.
A lot of us as bosses think we just need to be right because we have the title. We have the authority. We can tell you what to do. Being a boss, your promotional rank just gives you access to people. It does not give you permission to lead them. They give that to you based on what you provide them. And so when you think about that for a second, you don't just have to be right. You have to be able to communicate that effectively. And intellectual capital is a way that you can communicate effectively with people. And so, all right, here we go. If I were to, number one, if I were to give you a four-letter word that could change the life of every single person on this podcast, a four-letter word, if I could give you this four-letter word, do you think everybody out there would want it?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Absolutely. All right, so I'm going to give it to you. Read.
Yeah.
That's the four-letter word that can absolutely change your life. Now, I don't care what you read. I don't care how you read it. You know me, and historically, it's been documented that I was not the greatest student nor the best reader. And I've got to read something about 10 times to make it work and make sense to me, but I've got the discipline enough to do it. But I will tell you that when I read, it changes me. It gives me another perspective. It gives me another chance to think about an open-mindedness. It gives me the opportunity to see things from other perspectives, and it gives me a chance to connect emotionally. All those things can be done with reading. And I can't tell you how powerful that is for me, that if I really want to just take time to calm my brain down, I'll just start reading something that I kind of enjoy, and it just calms my brain down. So you can really stop being intellectually lazy by reading. But I know a lot of people out there saying, I don't read. Well, guess what? Those days are far past. If you're not reading, you're not ever going to be as effective as you can be. Now, the second thing is, when you view entertainment on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and all that stuff, don't just look at it for the entertainment alone. Look at it from the value of learning. What is it teaching me? What am I seeing with that? So enjoy it, have fun, laugh at it, but look at it with some value, not just wasted time. And if you'll do that, you'll start seeing things you don't normally see. Like, you know, look at your entertainment with some value to it. If you're watching a movie, and I know this is all of y'all are going to say like, well, I want to watch a movie, just have fun. Well, of course you do. And please keep having fun. But I'll give you an example of a movie. If you wanted to watch a movie, one movie that is out there right now that could teach you 100 leadership lessons, I'll tell you what that movie is. There is a movie you can watch that if you look for the value in it, it will teach you 100 leadership lessons. U571 with Matthew McConaughey.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
That movie will teach you about disappointment. It will teach you about success. It will teach you about sacrifice. It will teach you about disappointment. It will teach you about life and death. It will teach you about making tough ass decisions when you got to make them. It will teach you all that stuff. And if you just look at that movie for the entertainment value, you're going to lose 100 lessons. So that's a good example. Just look at stuff with the entertainment value, but to add some leadership value. Second thing is you got to network. You got to find people like-minded. You got to discuss these leadership things. You got to discuss trends. You got to discuss what's going on. You got to discuss stuff. You got to network with people. You got to network with people. I don't care what it is. You got to network with people. Now, when we talk about the next one is number four, you have to find someone to mentor you. In other words, you need to find someone that's going to push you past what you normally would do. And then you have got to find somebody that you're going to help push past normally what they would do. And so you have got to find someone. It's like finding a workout partner. You got to find a leadership partner, because I know this, that every time I have a workout partner, I work out harder than I do if I don't. And I won't lay out, I won't stop going to the gym. I'll go to the gym if I know my partner's going. And I will contact them. So you need to find somebody to help and find someone to help you. And you'd be surprised how that will increase your intellectual capital and stop you from being intellectually lazy. The fifth thing.
I was just going to add there. Absolutely. And that's part of the reason why you created Leaders Helping Leaders Network, was to give access to a network of people that are like-minded, wanting to build their leadership skills. And then to possibly find a mentor or somebody to mentor. I think it's pretty much been proven that the whole purpose of education originally back in the ancient Greeks was that you taught what you learned, and it helps you retain that knowledge better. So I think that's a great, great thing, that if you are mentoring somebody else or getting mentored by someone, you're going to learn more and retain more of what they're doing, observing their actions, practicing those actions, all of that kind of thing.
Yeah, 100%. And you know, you talk about us, we work together and we're on the phone constantly every day. And we brought a new employee, our new person on with us, Mackenzie, and we're constantly trying to help her, and you and I are trying to help each other. And we're just in a constant flow of reminding each other every day, we got to be better. And that just works. I don't care.
And she actually helps us get better too, because
100%.
You know, it works both ways, because when you're trying to help someone else, you are learning from the mistakes you're making as you're mentoring them, as well as rethinking like, well, why did I tell him to do that? Or why am I doing it that way? So you're literally self-educating yourself as you're trying to groom another person in what you're doing, or what we're doing as an organization. And then they're looking at things and saying, well, why are you doing it that way? Why wouldn't you do it this way?
That's absolutely a good thing. There is no substitution for helping someone else get better and someone helping you get better. There's just no substitute. Any significant leaders that I see across the country, they're all doing that. And that's just the way it is. The fifth thing, you got to keep score.
Yes.
You need to keep score on how you're helping yourself learn. You need to ask yourself, what am I learning today? Am I pushing myself? What can I do better tomorrow because I learned from it today? And if you don't keep score as a leader, you're going to be so far behind by the end of the week, and you got to keep score every day. That's a whole different podcast right there.
But yeah, you definitely. Keep score. I was going to say.
Yeah. I mean, I won't
go into the
whole class. Yeah. A whole class on keeping score. But you got to keep score. Now let's go to number six, and we'll throw where Mackenzie comes in here to us, because, you know, for the longest period of time, it was me and you, and we had Morgan, and we didn't have as many meetings with Morgan as we've had with Mackenzie. And she's been really active on this video that we did, because she's got those skill sets. She just can look at things like that. And this next one, number six, is what I really like, is you got to listen to your people.
Yeah.
If you're going to learn, you got to listen. And you can't learn talking. You got to learn by listening. And when you get a chance to hear stuff, and I'm not just saying listen to listen, I'm talking about listen to learn. And so you have to listen to learn. Mm-hmm. And number seven, this is so obvious that it's funny, but you got to take classes. You know what the biggest mistake that I see with people is? I'm not kidding. The biggest mistake that I see with people is that they believe that the organization is responsible for their development. They believe that they themselves don't have any responsibility in developing themselves, that the organization will do it for them. That is the biggest craziness ever. You are responsible for your own self-development, not your organization. And a lot of people say, well, my organization ain't going to send me. Well, if it's going to get you where you need to be, maybe you need to make an investment in yourself. Because there's one thing for sure. If you leave that organization, you're taking that knowledge with you.
That's right. That's right.
And you've got, can you imagine, think about this for a second, Kelly. Can you imagine for a second if you thought that your intellectual development was all left up to me?
That'd be crazy. I mean, first of all, I'm going to see things from a totally different perspective, just from my background and my demographic differences from you, that are going to enlighten you from a different perspective and vice versa. You're going to see things from your perspective that I didn't even think about. And so when you are letting let's think about it. The organization is a concept, right? It exists, it's there. But if you're letting this thing dictate what you're going to become as a person, you're probably going to be really disappointed.
Well, you're going to be so far behind because they're going to send the people that they think ought to go, and it may not be you.
What I see happening too is it's not just that. And when we're talking about classes, it's not just the ones we offer. It's anything that's out there. It's stuff that you find on the internet when you're looking through your social media feeds. If it's something that you think is going to grow you as a person or help you in being a better leader in your career, then that's what we're talking about. Take those opportunities to do that, because if you're just taking classes to check a box for the next time you're up for promotion, you're probably not going to retain that information. It's kind of like college is the way I look at this, Dean. You know, I always am a believer that those who have some skin in the game in higher education, even kids, you know, my kids are fortunate in that we're covering the basics. I wasn't. You weren't. And yet you can watch. I can remember being back in college and the kids that had everything paid for, had open checkbooks for anything they wanted to do, they were the C&D students because they really didn't have any skin in the game. They just had to make it. They had to survive enough for another year of fun, where those that are actually engaged in their intellectual development and know that there's some skin they have in the game, whether it's financial or intellectual or whatever the case is, they're probably going to apply it more and they're going to retain more knowledge that's going to help them in the future.
Oh, I mean, no doubt about it. And I think, you know, you can't leave your personal development up to an organization.
No.
It's just not going to work. So you've got to find a way to take classes. You got to find a way to get out, learn. Hey, take online stuff. Just push yourself. Read. Take
Correct.
Classes. 8 and 9, I'm going to combine because I think they're really a combination. And one of the things you got to realize is, number 8 is you got to embrace the role as a leader that you are also a teacher. And when you're in the role of a leader, that's an entire different podcast too. I could do a whole podcast on that, just in terms of embracing that role. But when you are a teacher, you provide information for others. You give them guidance when they need it. You teach them the way to do things. And if you'll combine 9 with that, you've got to discuss what you're learning with others. So these two together is you've got to embrace the role of a teacher when you're a leader, and you've got to discuss with others what you're learning. Because when you do that, when you discuss what you're learning with others, you get their perspective as well. And it adds to the learning flavor. You hear me? So it compounds your learning. When you discuss what you learn with others, it's almost like multiplication. It multiplies the learning process. When you learn it yourself, you kind of get it. But when you discuss it with others, you kind of get a different take on it. So it kind of multiplies. It's a force multiplier of information. So, you know, if you want to be intellectually, increase your intellectual capital and increase your intellectual or decrease your intellectual laziness, just read something, learn something, teach it, but also discuss it with others. Oh, my God. Because then you got to know it. You can't just halfway do it. So let's talk about number 10. You got a journal. You got to find a way to write down what you're learning. You can't just expect it to be there tomorrow so you can remember. You have got to get you a leadership journal. And if nothing else, you put in that journal the stuff that you would learn. And we hand these out in every class that we do. And that's one of our big things is you have got to be able to write down what you're learning because you don't want to have to relearn it. That, you know, when I was growing up, And I know you're going to think I'm an old timer, but I used to watch my grandpa. He was out there, and you got to remember this around the 60s when I was growing up and watching my grandpa. They had these tillers that were kind of doing that stuff then, but we absolutely had a push plow. And we had it in our backyard, and my grandpa would go out there and do the push plow to plant some vegetables for the family. Now, mm-hmm. I remember that. And the one thing my grandpa would always tell me, we'd come back in and I'd say, "Grandpa, what are you going to do tomorrow? You going to do that same thing?" He said, "No, son, I don't want to replow ground I've already plowed." Mm-hmm. And I thought, oh my God, that is so true. If you learn something, you write it down and you use it, you don't have to replow that ground again. And so, you know, when you write it down, you don't have to replow the ground again.
Right.
So, you know, I just absolutely, you got to, journaling is, that's another thing that I see really significant leaders use as a journal. They're writing their ideas down. They're writing their stuff down. They're keeping logs. They're keeping score. They know what's going on, and they just know how to do it. And journaling, you got to start journaling what you're learning. Number 11, you know, is you absolutely have to realize that you are personally responsible for what you know, not somebody else. You have to absolutely realize that you might think that somebody's going to come along and tap you on the shoulder and give you all this knowledge, but you have got to go out there and get it. And that's the thing. And there is no absolute, there is no substitution for you having the motivation and the discipline to go out there and get it on your own. And you have to develop that discipline and motivation to be able to know that what I learn, I'm going to pass on. And if you do that, then you'll start changing not only your life for the better, but you'll start changing every single person around you. If you stop being intellectually lazy, I guarantee you, you will see your leadership improve dramatically. You will not only see that, but you'll start seeing the connections that you have with people increase dramatically. Now, that doesn't mean you go out there and learn something. You want to be a know-it-all. But what it means is you learn it to give value. Just like I said before earlier when I was talking about, you know, when you want to increase your intellectual capital, learn it for value, not just to learn it. And when you watch those movies, learn them and watch them with value. And it's crazy. So when we talked about the seven deadly sins, those seven deadly sins are the, let me just make sure everybody's clear on this. Being intellectually lazy is one of them. I gave you 11 tips to not how to be intellectually lazy. There's other seven deadly, there's six more sins with that. And that's not, so I just want to make sure you're not confused. I'm just going to give you one other, because I'm going to do a podcast on the seven deadly sins. But in one of the deadly sins is being in competition with your people. That's got tips to how not to be in competition with your people, if you understand what I'm saying. So I mentioned 11 things to stop you from being intellectually lazy. And so I hope that's helped you. Kelly, you want to help? You want to say something here?
I think those are all really great. I love the last thing that you said about that. It's really a self-motivation thing. You have to yourself be intellectually curious enough about what you're trying to accomplish, both professionally and personally. I always know I draw the parallels to parenting, but I did it for 20 years and we all do it for a lifetime when we become a parent, right? You're still parenting your grown sons. And it's the same thing. You're not going to, when you're handed that newborn baby, they don't give you a manual for it. You better figure it out. You know, you're going to talk to people that have done it, that have experience. You're going to read things. It's the same thing with your job. It's the same thing with your leadership skills. It's not just going to happen by osmosis. It's going to happen because you take the initiative personally to go seek the information that you need be as effective absolutely. As you can be.
Well, so I'm going to close out with this kind of comment and kind of thought that I'm going to leave people with. And it kind of puts it in perspective, I think, in terms of when you're intellectually lazy as a leader, it really is not good for you or the people you lead. I do want to say this, that I learned this a long, long time ago. When the leader stops growing, the people around them start dying. Not them, but the people around them start dying. Now, they'll die a slow death. The people around them, when the leader stops growing, die a very quick death. And so you got to prevent that. You've got to make sure that as a leader, you are constantly growing, you're constantly pushing information, and you're constantly finding ways to stay intellectually, not lazy, but have intellectual capital. Imagine this, and I'll close this out with this. Imagine this. Imagine, would you ever go to a doctor who has become intellectually lazy with medicine? The answer to that question would be no. You would want that doctor to keep up on the latest terms, the latest things that's going on, the latest things out there in medicine so that they could give you the absolute best care. Well, guess what? The people you're leading are in your care. It's exactly like a physician. You've got to stay intellectually sharp, and you have to increase that intellectual capital. So, folks, hope you've enjoyed this podcast. I've enjoyed doing it. You know what? I'll wait for the next 3 a.m. one to come up and see if hope it's as good as I thought this one was, but I thought it was a lot of good thoughts there. So, folks, hope you enjoyed it. And again, thank you for being a part of LHLN, Leaders Helping Leaders Network. And thank you for all you're doing. As we always say, until next time, I'm Dean Crisp.
You've been listening to the Straight Talk on Leadership podcast with Dean Crisp. Be sure to like and subscribe to this podcast in iTunes or Spotify so that you do not miss a future episode. Also, please visit our website, www.lhln.org, where you can find the show notes, links provided by our guests, and learn more about the Leaders Helping Leaders Network and our upcoming classes. Until our next episode in the No BS Zone, be sure to put your leadership into action every day. Thank you for listening.